The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
Thank you, choir. Rejoice. Well, last week we finished a series of messages on new beginnings. Today we're going to start a brand new series using some of the parables of Jesus. Jesus taught over 40 parables. And a parable is simply a story that comes alongside a Bible truth to explain that Bible truth. I heard a story about a man who had a business in this smaller community. And even though he was not a godly man at all, he was an alcoholic, he cheated in his business, and just wasn't a very nice guy. He got the bright idea that if he would go down to the church and join the church, that maybe it would improve his business. He could make some more contacts at the church. So on a Sunday morning, he got up, and his wife didn't know what he was doing. He got up, and he dressed up, and he left the house, went down to the church, and he was a little uncomfortable there, but he sat down close to the front row, and when the time for invitation came, he got up, and he took the pastor's hand, and he told the pastor, he said, "Pastor, I think this is a marvelous church. I grew up in church, been to church most of my life. Don't have much sin in my life, I confess, but I'd love to join your church." And the pastor said, "Well, welcome." And the pastor introduced him to the congregation, and they unanimously welcomed him into the church. So he went home, and his wife said, "Where have you been?" He said, "Well, I went to church this morning." She said, You went to church?" Now, she was kind of a godly woman, and she usually went to church, but she had been feeling a little poorly that day. And he said, "Yeah, I joined the church." She said, "You joined the church?" He said, "Yeah, I told him how I'd been in church all my life, and I was a godly guy." And she said, "You're a liar. You're an alcoholic. You're a cheat. And you went to my church and joined my church?" And man, she gave him a sermon. Well, it convicted his heart. I mean, God spoke to him. So the next Sunday morning, he went back down to that church. And the invitation time, he came up to the pastor. And he said, "Listen, I lied to you because I'm a liar. I'm not a godly person. I haven't gone to church hardly any in my life. And I'm an alcoholic. And I want God to change my life." Well, the pastor told the congregation, and they immediately kicked him out of church. Kicked him out. He's standing on the front porch of the church, scratching his head, thinking, "I told a lie, and they took me in. And I told them the truth, and they kicked me out." Well, Jesus talked about a parable like that. He talked about a parable where a guy came to church acting all good. And then he told about the other half of the parable, a guy who was all bad. And in this parable, it's in the book of Luke, chapter 18, if you have your Bible. If you don't, should be one in the book rack. And if you don't have one at home, take that one home with you. We'd be glad for you to have it. But in this situation, as Jesus told the story, he got different results, just like this man did. In Jesus' story, one man tried to talk himself into the kingdom, but he didn't make it. And the other man tried to talk himself out of the kingdom, but he made it in. So as you look at this parable, you listen to what Jesus said. He spoke this parable to some. Now listen, this is his audience. This is telling us who Jesus spoke to. To some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They felt pretty good about themselves. But what else? They despised others. So they felt pretty good about themselves, but they despised others. Now, I feel an obligation today to ask you some questions to see if this parable might be addressing you. So question number one, do you ever look at people who don't go to church and think you're better than them because you do go to church. If you ever think that, then this parable is for you. Do you ever look at anybody in prison and believe that you're better than they are because you're not in prison? Because if you do, Jesus is talking to you. Do you ever look at people who have a failed marriage, a divorce, and think how much better you are because you don't? If you do, then Jesus is speaking to you. Do you ever look down on your nose at anyone for any reason and think you're probably better than them? Because if you do, Jesus is talking to you. And if you answered no to every one of these questions, Jesus is talking to you. Because you're a liar. Every one of us will find ourselves in this story. We find ourselves in this story because every one of us are guilty of trying to impress God. Every one of us are guilty of trying to show God how good we are. So there are three parts to this story. Number one, the Pharisee who fooled himself. The Bible says two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself. And here's what he said. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortionists, unjust adulterers, or even like that tax collector over there. Why? Fast twice a week, I give tithes of all I possess. Now I'm going to interrupt the prayer right here. Because every one of us are ready to jump on the Pharisee. You jerk. You know, you jerk, you feel like you're better than everybody else. You're arrogant. Well, let's just wait a minute. Because in the religious world, he really would have been an Eagle Scout. I can't say Eagle Boy Scout. He would have been an Eagle Scout. There's a whole sermon right there, but I'm not going to get on it, all right? He dotted every religious I. He crossed every theological T. He had every rule and regulation and ritual down. He went strictly by the book. He had a heart for religion. The problem was his religion had no heart. He had no compassion. He's standing in the center court. Be like standing right down here in the center of the church. Because right down here is where you could be seen the best and heard the best. And he's standing right in the center of the inner court at the head of the temple. And then he begins to laud himself. What does he say there? He says, I fast twice a week. You read the Old Testament? The Old Testament Jew was commanded to fast one time a year. He was to fast one time a year on the Day of Atonement. He was fasting 104 times a year. He surpassed the requirement. And then he says, I give tithes of all that I possess. The Old Testament says you are to give tithes on your income. But evidently this guy tithed everything. He went and bought 10 apples. He gave God one apple. I mean, he was so far beyond in obedience of rules and regulations. Now, there's nothing wrong with fasting more than once a year. I could probably benefit from that. And there's certainly nothing wrong with giving a double tithe. I encourage it. Give a double tithe. The problem is, this guy was using that as evidence that he's better than everybody else. And he thought his goodness would win him brownie points with God. Because he believed that God accepted a person on what the person does for him. He's religious. He's proud of it. So let me just stop right here and tell you, if you are trusting anything, and I mean anything, if you are trusting church membership, if you're trusting church attendance or baptism or religion or good works, if you're trusting anything other than Jesus Christ to make you right with God, you are wrong. and you're fooling yourself. The Pharisee thought God was impressed with all that he was doing. So this gives us the first clue as to what impresses God. What impresses God is when you try not to impress God, when you don't try to impress him. I heard a story about a little girl who came home. She was all happy. Mom said, "Why are you so happy?" She said, "Because I was voted prettiest girl in the school. I won that vote, prettiest girl in the school." Came home the second day. She was happier than the day before. And Mom said, "Why are you so happy?" She said, "Because I was voted most likely to succeed in my class." She came home the third day happier than either of the other 2 days. And Mama said, "What is it?" She said, "I was voted the most popular girl in my class." She came home the next day. Her dress was dirty because she'd been kicking rocks all the way home. She had tear stains on her cheek. Her hair was a mess. Mama said, "What's the matter? Did you lose the vote?" She said, "Oh, no, I won the vote. But it was for the most stuck-up person in the class." Well, you look at this man, and that's all over him. You know, he was high on himself. He had two problems. He inflated his own ego, and he deflated God. C.S. Lewis said, "A proud man's always looking down on things and people." And then he said, "And of course, as long as you're looking down, you can't see something above you." So when you're looking down on things and people, you can't see how great God is. This Pharisee fooled himself. What did he begin his prayer with? "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men." He was just like other men. He was just like everybody else. I put one more thing on your paper there. He was even fooled about his prayer. Because the Bible says he stood and prayed thus with himself. In the original language, it says he prayed to himself. Why? Because when you go to God in prayer with pride, you wind up talking to yourself. You know, the only person God sends away empty is the person who comes full of himself. God doesn't listen to our lips. He listens to our heart. So let's shift gears and talk about the next guy, person who faulted himself. Now, the contrast that Jesus gives here would have caught his audience off guard. Remember, his audience would have picked the Pharisee as the one who was the best. They would have picked the Pharisee because he was as different from this tax collector as the Pope is from a pimp. I mean, he was that night and day. And I don't mean that disrespectful. You just don't expect to hear those two words in the same sentence, right? Well, Pharisee and tax collector, every person of faith would have picked the Pharisee, not the tax collector. Why? Because the tax collector worked for the IRS of Rome. He stole from people. He would charge them exorbitant rates. He's the kind of man that'd steal candy from a baby. He was a traitor to the nation of Israel. Did you know tax collectors were so despised that they could not be a witness in a Jewish court and they could not hold any kind of office because their word was considered worthless? And here he is, a liar, a cheat, a traitor, a reprobate. The Pharisee who had tried to impress God but didn't. Now we have the tax collector who doesn't try to impress God but does. Why? Well, we see what really impresses God. Humility impresses God. The tax collector standing afar off. Standing afar off. You know, he goes to the center of the Pharisee goes to the center of the Jewish court. This guy's standing in the shadow. You can see it in his eyes. He would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven. He's too proud to look up. The Pharisee was. The tax collector is too ashamed to look up. And you see his humility in his hands. The Bible says he beat his breast. In other words, he's saying, "God, I have a filthy heart inside. I'm worthless on the inside." You can hear it in his voice. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And the Bible says God heard his prayer. Because Jesus is quoted as saying, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other one." You see, God's looking for humility. On the outside, we would have thought the Pharisee was closer to God, but it was truly the tax collector who was close to God. Why? Because in the book of Psalm, the Bible says the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. This man humbled himself, and God didn't have to do it. God was going to humble the Pharisee, but this man humbles himself immediately. He knows who he is. But not only is it humility, it's honesty. God is impressed by honesty. It says, "Be merciful to me, the sinner." That word merciful in the original language goes back to the Hebrew, a word called kippur. And you've heard of Yom Kippur. Kippur means atonement. And the word atonement means to cover. It means to cover it. So when you hear Yom Kippur, it's the day of atonement. And what it really means is, God, I'm exposing my heart for what it is. I'm showing you who I really am. God, will you cover for me? And that's all God wants to hear. You know, the thing that hit me as I was thinking about this, there's only one thing that's worse than a sinner. And the only thing worse than being a sinner is not admitting that you are a sinner. Because we've all sinned and failed God. Brings me to the third thing, and that's the principle. Verse 14 says, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Again, Jesus shocks the crowd. They're pulling for the Pharisee. Because in that day, the Pharisee wore the white hats and the tax collectors wore the black hats. And if you'd have taken a vote in that crowd as to which man was accepted by God, which man was safely in the kingdom of God, the Pharisees would have won by unanimous decision. But there's only one voice that counts, and that is God's. So let me bring it down to where we live right now. Three thoughts. They're on your notes. Number one, we learn that it's not how you see you, but how God sees you that matters. Let me tell you what we need to understand about this. If you see you as better than everybody else, God knows the truth. You're dirty like the rest of us. But here's the other side of that. Some of you see yourselves as more dirty than anybody around you. And it keeps you afraid of God. And it drives you away from God because you feel like you can't measure up to everybody else. Don't let it do that. Because every one of us are guilty. Every one of us, if we were the only person on the planet and we had only committed one sin, and maybe it was just a little white lie. No, I didn't eat that ice cream. You wiping chocolate off your mouth? I didn't eat that. One little white lie would have demanded that Jesus pay the price on the cross. We're all guilty. But this parable teaches me that no matter how I see me, because I can get pretty hard on me at times, when I humble myself, God receives me. It also tells me, secondly, when you see God the way you should see God, it helps you see you the way you really are. You see God the way you ought to see God, in His unconditional love, in His compassionate heart, in His caring spirit, in His unwavering love for you, His unending loyalty to you, that He will never leave you or forsake you. When you see Him that way, it helps you to see how you are and that He can receive you. And then finally, mercy is not just what God pays you when you've earned it. That's what some people think. Mercy, if I do this good stuff and go to church enough and read my Bible enough, I'll get some mercy because I've earned it. Mercy is what God gives you when you admit to Him that you need it. No, Not because you've earned it. Not because you've earned it. A story is told about a man who conned his way into the emperor's orchestra. It was the emperor of China. And they had an orchestra that was amazing. And this man became a member of the orchestra even though he could not play a single solitary note. And whenever they practiced, whenever they performed, he would hold his flute against his lips and pretend to play, but he never made a sound. And for years, he was paid a good salary for playing in the emperor's orchestra. He had a comfortable living. Until one day, the emperor requested a solo from everybody in the orchestra. Every musician was to come and play a solo. Well, the first time he was scheduled, the flautist got very nervous and said he was sick. And he kept trying to put it off and put it off. But the emperor was not fooled. So the day came of his solo performance. And the flautist took poison and killed himself instead of going to the emperor. And out of that story is a phrase that has come to our English language to simply say, he could not face the music. That's where the story came from. He could not face the music. You want to impress God? Face the music about who you are. That's your choice. Stand with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, in these moments right now, help us just to be who we are, to get alone with you and just as simply and calmly as we know how, just be who we are and let you work to change our lives. You promise us nothing will drive you away from us. We will never be so deep in sin that you run away and say, I've had enough of you. Now the devil wants us to do that and we feel so worthless and guilty and guilt drives us from you. But just remind us today in this story that you never leave. You're always there. And if we're willing to face the music, you will help us change. Move us from where we are to where you want us to be. God, may we learn that today. In Jesus' name.